friends. How you doing? It's your boy Jonathan Macri with you for another episode of NBA Takedown coming at you on the Friday before Thanksgiving. I am feeling very grateful today because I am joined by two of the best in the biz, one of whom has been my co-host on here for pretty much all of these episodes so far, and I'm very thankful to have him. Sean with a W, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Happy Friday to everyone out there. And I'm thankful to be a part of this ever-burgeoning podcast, which is going to take over the world in about 3 to 5 weeks, give or take a year or two.
That's the most backhanded.
That's a lot of variance there.
Yeah.
Under promise, over deliver, baby. That's how we do.
My wife, out of nowhere, and like, as you guys both know, like when you're in this for a while, like at first, your significant other is like, all, like, not that they stop being supportive, but they're all like very like rah rah. And after a while, it's like, what have you? When's the last listened to anything I've done or read anything I've written?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's, I mean, it's no, whatever. It is what it is. But my wife, out of nowhere the other day, she sent me a screenshot of like where this pod is ranked on the basketball rankings. And we're like, we're in the top 200, which, whatever, for a pod that has existed for a month is fine. And she's like, way to go, baby. That's awesome. I'm like, are you drinking? Are you day drinking? Did you leave work? I'm also here with Dexter Henry. Always thankful to talk to Dex. How are you, Dex?
I'm good. I'm good, man. A little tired. I was telling you before, but trying to get ready before the Thanksgiving holiday comes up. That's going to be busy. Got some things to do next week. Some cooking to get into. So
you hosting?
I'm not hosting, but I always cook at the in-laws, and I always cook. So I like the process of cooking for Thanksgiving. I enjoy it. So I do a little cooking for Thanksgiving.
This will be the first time that I could say in earnest that I am truly, we are truly hosting Thanksgiving. We had we had Thanksgiving at our house once before, like 7 or 8 years ago, something like that. But my brother-in-law, CJ, shout out to him. He did the turkey. He has like a deep fryer, like set it up outside, nice. The whole thing. But like, you can't say that you're truly hosting Thanksgiving if you do not cook the turkey. So this year,
I agree with that. I rock with that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. No, so I'm excited about it. A little nervous, but my wife ordered something called a cheesecloth.
Yeah.
The other day, so I don't think it's a cloth made of cheese, but you know, we'll see.
It is not.
It's not.
No, it's not. Okay, that's glad that we could confirm that. All right. You know what? Before we get into the show, a quick reminder to everybody watching, to everybody listening, whether you're tuning in live or after the fact, help support the show. The best way that you could continue to get my wife to send me impromptu text messages during the day is to, number one, follow us wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple, whether that's Spotify, whatever. And also subscribe on the NBA Takedown YouTube channel, where constantly, obviously, we have all the videos on there, constantly posting little breakout clips, shorts, going to be doing some like direct to social stuff that we'll be putting on there as well. And obviously, follow us wherever you get your social media at NBA Takedown. And with that, I'm so excited for this. We start off the show with the takeoff.
2-1-0, ignition, liftoff.
That's Mark Roskis, baby. How good there is you Mark? Go.
I like that. Shout out to Mark.
That dude is talented. He's very good. Yeah, so we're going to start off by getting off three takes on whatever is going on in the NBA at the moment. Dex, I'm going to turn to you first. You're the guest. Start us off on the takeoff.
All right. So, look, we know the Sacramento Kings are terrible. We all
know this.
Yeah, breaking news, if you didn't know, they are terrible. They are arguably, and you guys can let me know how you feel, the worst run organization in basketball. And as all of us who saw for about a 2-decade period with the Knicks, they were in that territory at one time, too. Here's my thing. Everybody's going to say, okay, the Kings they're tied for their worst 16-game start, 3-13. This is all bad. The team is poorly constructed because who could have seen this coming? We're just shocked at where the record is. Here's my problem when all this happens. The coach is going to get the blame. We saw that happen with Mike Brown. They got him out of there in Sacramento. Now they're going to do this with Doug Christie. Or it'll be the GM, Scott Perry, is running things out there now too. Mm. But what about ownership? ownership does not take enough heat, in my opinion, not just in the NBA, but in professional sports. And the real reason that is there's no incentives for owners to have any shame or embarrassment. There is no shame or embarrassment for these owners because we don't have relegation. Sean, I know you're going to feel me on this. Relegation is a good thing. We are English Premier League soccer fans.
Yes.
And you know what? I would be embarrassed if Liverpool got relegated tomorrow. The ownership would be embarrassed. It would not be up to our standards at all. Same for your team, Sean. There's no relegation in sports, in American sports, and it sucks. So owners, like the Kings owner, they've got no incentive. There's no shame for them because they're going to keep selling tickets out there. They're going to keep ringing them cowbells or lighting up the beam or whatever the hell they're doing in Sacramento. And that is it. And the Kings are still going to be terrible because there isn't any shame. We need more shame. We need relegation. Owners need to feel the heat.
That's a great take. I have three responses. One, my initial thought when you started going down this road is, but I don't know if you guys roll in these circles. I don't. When you're amongst other like multi-millionaire billion, I don't know how much money Vivek Ranadive has, a lot of money. Like, it doesn't your shame come from having to look those people in the eye and be, and they know that you've, but then as soon as I thought that, I'm like, no, I don't like they're just going to order another.
Your shame comes from not wanting to be the poorest among that group. That's the shame. So if you still own an NBA team, it's still a flex, right?
It's still a flex.
Nobody really cares if the team is. Now, it's even more of a flex if you're a winning team and you win a championship.
Sure, yeah.
But you're still not poor. You're a billionaire. You'll be good.
My second take on this fantastic idea, relegation would be great because then you would have to own it. And then when you said cowbell, they should, because they are winning so infrequently, they should actually tip over a cow every time they win a game this year. I think that would be a more appropriate.
Yo, don't have Peter come for you, man. Don't Peter come for you and they're tipping over the cows. Be careful.
Is that considered animal cruelty? I may have just gotten canceled. That's not good.
Just saying.
Yeah. Sean, thoughts on the Kings?
So Dex is right. There should be relegation in America, but it'll never happen because hashtag America. But
fair.
I will say this. There's a difference between like people who don't try and people who try and suck. Like Vivek tries. He just sucks. James Dolan tried. Yeah, he is. Yes, he's trying. You know who's not trying? Bob Nutter, who owns the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's not trying at all.
Is his last name really Nutter?
Yes.
Like,
sorry, whoever, I was this. What time is it? I was 12:11 p.m. on November 28th years old when I learned that the last name of the Pittsburgh Pirates owner was Nutter.
Like Bruce Sherman of the Marlins, not trying. Like they are not trying. The Kings are just suffering from sheer and utter incompetence. And to your point, Dexter, hanging around rich people, other rich people aren't going to shame him because he can say, I own an NBA team. What do you own? Like, I sit courtside.
You own a yacht?
Games.
You own a mansion? You own a house in the Hamptons? Who gives a shit?
He's like, I have a house in the mansion and a yacht, and I own an NBA team. Because as they said in the TV show Billions, sports ownership is how we unite people in this country.
Yep. I remember that line from Billions. Yep.
It's a great call. The only context I'll add, I was going to make my hot take about this, and I was going to say the Kings have reached Fizdalian levels. And my evidence for this so Fizdale went out of his Knicks job with an 8-game losing streak. They were outscored by 138 points during that 8-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. The Kings have been outscored by 187 points in this 8-game losing streak, and they go to Denver next. So we are, yes, Sean.
And what do both of those teams have in common?
Other than terrible owners? Well, I can't Scott say that's James Dolan anymore.
Scott Perry. Scott Perry. Yeah. Scott Perry. Here's the thing. Scott Perry's going to take some heat, and Doug Christie's going to be the fall guy for this.
He will.
Nobody could save this. This roster was poorly constructed, which some of that is on Scott Perry. But Vivek, Scott, Sean said he's trying. I thought about more about what you said, Sean, and I hear you because the NBA, at least, you know, unlike the MLB, there is no salary floor, right? And so Bob Nutter doesn't have to try because it's he's like, who's going to stop me or start me, I guess I should say, from trying. Yeah, so.
Who's going to start me from trying?
Yeah, I hear you. Scott Perry is a common thread here. Not a good look for Scott Perry.
It's not great. It's tough to be a Kings fan right now, especially when you look at their draft record over the last really 15 years, because not that they haven't drafted good players. They have drafted some really good players. Unfortunately, those players went elsewhere very soon, sometimes of their own volition. Sean, let's move to you. What is your takeoff take?
My takeoff take is if anyone ever tries to tell you that you can't talk about the NBA or you don't understand the NBA more or better than the players who played, you could tell them to shut what I like to call the fuck up. Because once a Nick, always a Nick, Theo Pinson on his show said that the Rockets should trade Amen Thompson and potentially Alperen Şengün for, wait for it, Kyrie Irving. Said this. It's not AI.
No.
This is just, this is reason number 4,080 why don't let anyone ever tell you that we can't talk ball on the same level as the NBA players, because these players have the same biases and blind spots that we do.
And you know what Theo Pinson would say to that? He would be like, and that's why you don't get it, because you never had to stare across, you know, or stand across from Kyrie Irving on a basketball court. You don't know firsthand what he could do and the handles and the scoring ability and the magistry and all that stuff. And I think this is, I really mean this. I think this is like, I wish we could find an athlete to debate this specific thing over, like the ability, like where is the value in having done it? Because there is value in it. I don't even think you're saying that there's no value in it. But how much does it cloud your judgment? I don't know, Dex. You've been around a lot of athletes in your work. What do you think?
Yeah, I want to take it to a little bit of a step further here too.
Sure.
Because I think the point Sean's making, I would love to have this discussion with an athlete too, but I think the point Sean makes is a good one. But here's another thing. Theo Pinson was doing this, and Sean, just so I'm clear, this was on his podcast?
Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm gonna give another hot take here. Everybody shouldn't have a podcast because some of y'all say some dumbass shit.
Dex, and I'm right here, man. I'm on the show with you.
I'm on your podcast because I love you and I think you do good work. Same for you, Sean. Everybody should have a podcast. And some people are going to say some hot takey, dumb stuff. And that's it. Now, granted, we are doing a show called NBA Takedown. We're giving takes here. But this is not, well, we're not trying to say hot takes just to rile people up. I think we're trying to come with some nuance here. And so I would question Theo Pinson, and maybe you could, J-Mac, or you could, Sean. Do you know what it takes to make a good podcast, Theo Pinson? Do you have the 10,000 hours there? The way you would criticize us for maybe not being on the court or having been across Kyrie Irving? And I will say that anybody knows me knows I'm not a big Kyrie Irving fan. However, Kyrie Irving is the ultimate vibes player. A lot of people love him because of what he can do and how it looks. But we don't know if the man is going to show up for work. And you want to trade two people who will show up for work for somebody who we don't know is going to show up for work. And I quite frankly think that's pretty stupid.
And just to bring it back to the court, Jack and Bill were talking about this on their league pass episode. Yeah. That came out yesterday. Kevin Durant's in such a wonderful place, seemingly mentally, physically, emotionally, all of the things. He's playing great. He's smiling. He's jumping around the whole thing. No offense to him, but the last time he teamed up with Kyrie Irving didn't go swimmingly for a variety of reasons. You know, so Dex, the worst part of it is people do listen. It's not, I shouldn't say it's the worst part. Everybody make their bread. People tune into these things and people love these things, these podcasts run by the players, old ex-players. Does it matter if they're good or not?
Now we're getting into a larger conversation about stuff and content, right? Where
yes,
and look, I know somebody in the comments or watching is going to be like, Dex, well, good is subjective. I'm going to tell you what my criteria is. And I try to do this with my work, with people I bring on, who I respect and I listen to. I look at the detail, the attention they put into their work, how they present everything, the guests they have on. Is there nuance? Is there thought? We all have takes. Mm-hmm. But come on, man. Like, come on. Listen,
most player podcasts suck.
I was trying to be nice, but I agree with you.
Dex does the tap dance. Sean's like, no.
Sean's like, most, I'm going right in.
Most of them offer no substance whatsoever. It's just them getting off their biases and whatever, right? So look, to your point, John, there has to be value in having played at the highest level. There are things that they will have, there are things that players will be privy to that can shut down ideas and thoughts that that fans have. Like, that's for example, like, one thing we've learned from players is that players have a lot more free time in their hands than we realize. So guess what? Just because you see them out at having a drink one night at a bar doesn't mean that they don't practice, right? It's like, or it's like, I don't understand. Or when they say things like, oh, we should trade for this guy because they don't do this. And it's like, no, there has to be value. There are things like, no, well, we saw this, but in the locker room, this is how we go about things. There has to be value there. But it is blatantly obvious when you can tell that the take, the opinion that's given is steeped in bias and bias. And I don't care if you, I don't care how much you played. Like, you can, like, if your bias shows, right? So to Dex's point, like, you can tell the people who put the time in or not flying off. Like I will always remember LeBron on the shop when he was like, there are guys in the NBA that do not know how to play basketball. And he broke down why that is. Yeah. Like, he broke it down. He's like, okay, this makes sense. But when you just say, like, we should, yes. Kyrie Irving can get to the rim at will, but Kyrie is 35 years old. Like, why would the Houston Rockets trade? Like, why? To your point, John. No, we just saw this already.
You're right. You're right. But what you're getting at is a whole nother podcast where you literally talk about if there is value in bias. And I know that probably sounds a little wonky, but there's I do think it's an interesting conversation that, again, maybe we'll have another time. Yeah. It's a great take. I'm happy you brought it up because I saw that and I'm like, come on, man, we're putting this out there. My takeoff take is going to be our entryway into our conversation today about the top 10 big men in the NBA, which is that Nikola Jokic is having how many games has the Nuggets played? 15, 16, whatever. It's about a sixth of the NBA season.
Mm-hmm.
Is having the best opening sixth of the NBA season in the history of the league. My justification for that, we're going to go through stats for all of these guys and Jokic's stats like that. Jokic is so absurd that, like, advanced stats that, like, most normal fans like don't care about, people are actually becoming familiar with and be like, wow, what is this guy doing? Here's mine that I'm throwing out at you right now. He's currently, this is a basketball reference stat that I reference a lot, has a box plus minus of 18.48. Now, if you listen to this watching this, probably like 18.48, what the fuck does that mean? It means nothing to me. Here's what it should mean to you. Currently, that would be the greatest box plus minus in the history of the NBA. That's not what's impressive, though. What's impressive is the gap between that 18.48 box plus minus and the guy who is number two on the list, who, by the way, his name is also Nikola Jokic from a couple of years ago, is the same as the gap between that number two on the list and the guy who is 67th. So right now, Nikola Jokic is not only lapping the field, he's lapping the field several times over in terms of the level of dominance that he is going out there and playing with. If he keeps doing this, there isn't going to be an MVP conversation. It doesn't matter how many games the Thunder win. Doesn't matter how many 5x5 games Wemby has. None of that shit matters. He's going to take home his fourth MVP. So, Dex, thoughts on that?
Nikola Jokic is dope. He's great. Like, great. Simply put, Nikola Jokic is dope, right? I still think there are a lot of people, and I have these conversations, even some NBA fans who I respect, they still can't get over, like, yo, how's he doing this? Because he doesn't look like he should be dominating like this. But I think one of the things that isn't talked about enough in NBA circles is that, I've been saying this for a little bit, I want to pat myself in the back, but I will. the game has become way more about skill than athleticism. I've always said I think athleticism is a bit overrated. It is nice if you have it, but what's the other skills that you have around to support that? And Nikola Jokic's game is going to age like fine wine. He's fine. And he'll probably be done whenever he wants to and wants to go back to Serbia and deal with his horses and all that stuff. But, man, how dominant he is. And I think that stat is so great, J-Mac, because it puts in perspective – this is not even close, man.
No.
This is not even close in how much he's the best player in the league. The problem for a lot of people is this isn't generally what the best player in the league looks like to them. Now, I don't think that should matter, but this dude is so good. He is one of the greats already. I think the only thing that's going to help him even further is winning another championship, and we'll see if he's able to do that.
I'm trying to think of is there a comp to what you just said, where the best player in the league is not supposed to look like this, like kind of lumbering, you know, he's not in, I mean, he's probably arguably in better.
Larry Bird might be the closest thing in the mid to late 80s. If you wanted to say that he was the best at that time, where a lot of people were like, hey man, this white dude from Indiana, is carving people up. But Larry Bird was cold, man.
Tim Duncan couldn't really run fast or jump high.
Yeah, he didn't have a flashy game. Big fundamentals, not a flashy game.
But he came in the era where the fundamentals were much more appreciated. But as
Tim.
The player I'm actually thinking about is Steph Curry. Because
that's great. That's a great call.
That's really good.
How many times would you see, like, talk about player biases? Like, people would be like, who do you rate? Who would you rather have, Steph Curry or Russell Westbrook? And the reason players say Russell Westbrook is like, because he got that dog in him. It's like, yeah, because he has athleticism. Yeah. He dunks on people, whatever, yada, yada. And it's like, yo, this 6'2" dude who just shoots threes, whatever. Like, listen, we saw Charles Barkley like every single week, Thursday on TNT.
Yes, we did.
This team ain't going to win a championship. Ain't no Jefferson team going to win a championship. Like, so I think it's Steph.
One thing I just like to say, J-Mac, I think other thing to what Sean just said there that should be noted is, and this is something also maybe a take for another day with scouting and how much people get things wrong and why you can find talent anywhere. We got to remember where this guy was picked, and he's now the best player in the league and has been so for quite some time. And this guy was a late second round pick. A lot of people could have had Nikola Jokic. A lot of teams could have had Nikola Jokic. And he did it. And some of that is because of the biases that Sean is talking about. Sean's 100% right on this.
Oh, man. I got to see if I could find it really, really, really quick. Yes, I can. Hold on. This will take me 2 seconds to...
I'll filibuster while you
filibuster for literally 15 seconds.
All right. I just feel as if, like... at some point, you know, Dex, you make a very good point. Like, skill matters so much more. And, like, the days of, like, listen, I'm old enough to remember Stromae Swift getting drafted number 2 because he's an athlete. He's like, all right, you can run and jump. But kids, like, can he play basketball?
Right.
You know, at a high level, right? So, you're absolutely right there. John is still looking for it. So
No, I haven't. I'm just putting it in. So last night on Jeopardy, shout out to my guy Alan Sippenwall. You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Okay. There was a category, and Alan texted me last night about this, and he texted, and I was like, this can't be. Like, I must be misinterpreting or misunderstanding what this text is. And the text was, there was a category about Cle Anthony Early in Jeopardy. And
what?
I sure as shit, this was the category. International hoops terms with Cle Anthony Early, where Cle Anthony Early would, like, give international hoops terms. And it was with Cle Anthony Early because I guess he's played a lot of international basketball over the years. Why am I bringing this up now? Because Cle Anthony Early was drafted ahead of Nikola Jokic.
That, wow. That just made me feel great. Fantastic.
Isn't it great?
I remember when the Knicks drafted Cle Anthony Early, and I was so high on that pick. I was like, oh, you know, we got a
Shockers, baby.
Like, high second is like a late first, and, you know, he helped.
And it was Phil.
It was Phil Jackson.
If Phil thinks he's great.
Yeah, and literally the listen, it just makes me – listen, I can always say, like, yes, we passed on Nikola Jokic, but – every other team so passed Nikola Jokic, including the Denver Nuggets.
So exactly. So did they. And there was like they were wondering for a little while, like we talked about this in the last episode. Who's better, him or Nurkic? Okay. Let's get into our list. Here's how we're gonna do this. We're gonna go round robin, and we're basically just going to toss out one name at a time, and then we'll debate the name. And then as we move along, as you know, we keep tossing names out, we'll eventually get to a top 10. But from the start, at the start of this, I'm just going to read. I wrote down 25 candidates for 10 spots. I'm just going to read them off very quickly, mm-hmm. and then we're going to start tossing names out, and we'll come together and compile a top 10. Here it is. Okay. In no particular order. And by the way, if a team has two centers or two big men who are eligible for the list, I save that team I save them for the end because I'm going to mention them together. So if you don't hear someone, you're like, why am I not hearing this player? It's because they're going to appear at the end. Okay. Jokic, Giannis, Wemby, Sengun, Lauri Markkanen, Jalen Duren, Bam Adebayo, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Julius Randle, Pascal Siakam, Draymond Green, Rudy Gobert, Jaren Jackson Jr., Ivaka Zubac, Zion Williamson, remember him, Domantas Sabonis, pour one out, Miles Turner, KP, Kristaps Porzingis, Derek Lively, and I didn't know if I should write him down, but it got me to 25, so I was like, why not? And then the doubles, Cat and Mitch, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, and then last but certainly not least, Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein. It's a lot of names, guys. There's a lot of talented bigs in the league right now. I'll just open by saying that. But
there are a lot of talented bigs in the league. I'm intrigued to see how we talk about this list and what the standards are here, because for me, there were some people where I was like, you ain't cracking the top 10 because you don't play.
You just reminded me of the most important thing. What are the criteria? Criteria is you have inherited an NBA team. If Vivek Ranadive is like, you know what? Fuck this. Here's my team. You can give me $1 because I have so much money that I don't care. And you get a chance to put a player on your team for the rest of this season. All we're caring about is this season. This is not a trade value list. This is just, I want this guy on my team for the rest of the year, and then I'll go figure out how to build the team around them. So this is like a very much a present day list. So to your point, Dex, the injuries are going to factor in. I'll just start things off, and then we'll go to Dex and Sean, and then we'll keep going around. Jokic had one. Could there be... I mean, no, I can't even say this with a straight face. There can't be any discussion. Here's a good one. When's the last time a player at his position has been this so clearly the best player at his position? Or in the league, if you want to go that way. Maybe that's the better one.
Peak LeBron at maybe like 2010 to 2014, I guess you'd say at the three. Are we saying that?
Yeah, if you considered Steph a point guard, I would go a little bit more recent with Steph at that position. But even like the best player in the league, if we go that extra step, was LeBron ever this clearly the best player in the league? I'm trying, because like Kobe was still good for a while. Then yeah, Sean.
So I think he was, but because of the. Where we lived in the 24-hour news take cycle, there was always someone who's going to say, well, he's not that good because he did this, he did that. I mean, same thing with Jordan. It was like Jordan was the best player, but then it was like, hey, then Jackie McMullen writes a column like, hey, how come Karl Malone has never won MVP? And then it's because even in 92, it was like, I don't know, Clyde Drexler might be able to get him. And 93, Charles Barkley might be able to get him. So I think they had existed, but there was always people just willing to zig when others were zagging and trying to make a case for somebody else. Listen, there's someone right now trying to make a case that why Jokic is not that guy. Somebody somewhat credible. And you could be like, dog, like it's.
Can you really still do that? Because, like, I'm at the point where, like, in my lifetime, and we're all roughly the same age, Jordan mid-90s and Tiger early 2000s, those were the two where it was like there's this person and then there's an ocean and then there's whoever you have number two. Jokic is not at that level yet, but he is approaching that level for me.
Yeah. The only other athletes to me with that kind of gap that I would think that popped in my mind. I agree with you on Jordan Tiger. I put Serena. in her prime. And then also, it's funny. I think this person might have the biggest gap between them and any athlete in any sport. And Simone Biles is so much better at what she does in gymnastics than anybody else. It's not even funny.
Didn't think of gymnastics because it's not.
No, I don't understand. It's not a major sport for people. But just when we're talking about that gap, yeah, that gap's crazy, man.
I got another one. Usain Bolt.
Oh yeah, yo.
So now you guys are getting into Olympics.
But Sean's right. These are some of the greatest athletes of all time. Sean is absolutely right.
He's right.
If you want to get back to American sports,
It doesn't even have to. Is there a soccer player? You guys watch soccer? Is there a soccer player who's ever had this gap?
I mean, you got it. Like, people will say Pele.
That was before
We weren't alive for Pele. But
that's before my time. Or Maradona. That's before my time too. In my life,
Because even Messi had Ronaldo.
If we're going before we started watching sports, we could talk about Wayne Gretzky.
Babe Ruth.
I was about to say yes. I'm just talking about the last 35
years,
basically. That's where I'm kind of focused on.
I will say that I think that LeBron was head and shoulders above a lot of people, but to your point, you had a Kobe hive that will tell you why he's not better. And you had the Jordan hive that will tell you why he's not that good because he was encroaching on his property. But I just think if LeBron wanted to, he could have in his prime, he could have averaged 36, 9, 9 and 9. That's not really it's not necessary here.
He could have. I think the thing, and I'm not wholeheartedly disagreeing with you, Sean, but I think what will always be the pockmark on if we're having this particular conversation about LeBron is you could argue that his peak coincided with a 2-season stretch in which both of those seasons ended in some level of turmoil / derision at how he ended that respective year in 2010 and 2011. Just throwing that out there.
It's gonna color things for people, but his performances through those seasons are so
during
damn good.
During
2014 is an amazing run.
Well,
of the best player in the league that we've ever seen.
Four MVPs in 5 years.
Listen, even during that 2010 season where everyone was laughing at him because he got eliminated in game 7, he had 36, 19, and 13. It was playing with freaking Mo Williams and all these guys. And it was he didn't make it to the finals, so you enjoy it.
But to bring it back to Jokic, it sets up an interesting scenario now as we are heading in, or not as we're heading, when we head into the playoffs this year, if assuming he stays healthy and assuming these stats keep up, the conversation is going to flip this is all great, but what does it matter if he can't deliver in the playoffs? And it's going to be a weird thing where it's going to increase the pressure on him to whether he has the best team or not, there's a lot of obviously OKC. So it's going to be some conversations as we move into April and May. Okay. Dex, throw out a person.
Victor Wembanyama.
At
number two. Yeah. I'm putting him there already. I just think because what he can do on both sides of the ball, how he is defensively. What's he averaging right now? I got the numbers right here.
How about we do this? When someone says a player, I'll just say the quick stats.
There you 20, go.
26, 13, and 4 with 3.5 blocks and a steal. He's at 50, 35, 86. That's his slash line, 50% from the field. And then the Spurs are in terms of the on-off differential, that's what the plus minus thing I'm going to give is.
Yep.
They're plus 9 with him on the court.
His impact is so great right now. I mean, he's already a top 5 player to me. I think he's the second best big man. I think he's the person on this list that, while the gap is still there and huge, he's the person closest to, at some point in the next, I would say, 3 to 4 years, passing Jokic. If we did this 3 to 4 years from now, because he just has that level of talent.
I'm with you on the 3 to 4 years. I am not going to co-sign Wemby at number two yet. And Sean, can you throw out a name?
The name I will throw out, if I'm thinking of a legit number two,
Look at the list to see who his name before.
I'm looking at the list. The problem is the guy. Okay, there's a guy that doesn't play center that I consider as a center. Yeah, plays in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's the guy we're talking about here.
But the thing is, like, he doesn't play center. But
so here's the thing. I went and I looked at both Basketball Reference in terms of their positional listings and Cleaning the Glass. On Basketball Reference, they have him at least, I think, 10%. I forget what, I'll look it up now, but it's like it's a non-trivial number. Cleaning the Glass is a little bit less. If we're talking about NBA big men, I think you have to consider Giannis, don't you?
Yes. If we're talking about like really tall guys, then yes, you have to consider Giannis. If it's guys who start at center, then a name I was going to throw out was going to be Şengün.
Okay. I think we've named the next three right now. I am going to push back against you, Dex. I think Giannis is better today. I think Giannis is better than Wemby. And I'll read Giannis' stats too. Giannis, 26, 13, and 4. No, sorry, that's Wemby. Giannis, 31, 11, and 7. Hooah. 63% from the field. On limited volume, 50% from three. 64% from the line. The Bucks, plus 19.5 when he is on. That is the third best number, excuse me, of anyone on this list after Jokic, who's at plus 25.1, which is, again, silly.
This is going to sound crazy to maybe some people because we saw Giannis do this in game 6 to win the title. Giannis and the Wemby conversation kind of goes in what we were talking about earlier. In Giannis's game is really based on athleticism and he's really dope.
Yeah.
I think Wemby's a more skilled player, which is why I would take him ahead of Giannis. I can't kill you, J-Mac, for saying you think he's better right now. I take Wemby over Giannis, though. I like Giannis, but I'm taking Wemby.
Now you got me thinking because Wemby brings the 3-point shot. Giannis, I know the percentages are what they are, but he takes one a game, and he's not the same gravitational threat, I'll say, in that sense. The same spacing threat as Wemby is. And defensively, Wemby's the best player in the league when he's on the floor.
That's why that's why I'm taking Wemby, man.
Shit, now I'm doubting myself. Sean, do you think one of these guys should be two and the other should be three?
Yes.
Okay, so who do you put it to? This is wild that we're having this conversation about Wembanyama already. I know we've already done a lot of Wemby stuff on the show, but I'm like literally in real time considering your position, Dex, and it's kind of throwing me off. I'm not going to lie.
I will put Wemby three, but I see the argument. Dexter makes a very strong argument. And listen, if you put Wemby at two, like based on this season and only this season, I can't really argue with you.
I'm gonna stand my ground. You know why I have to put Giannis at two, Dex, is because he's hurt right now. Obviously, he's gonna be out for a little bit. That should factor in as well. As is Giannis, he's also hurt. He's gonna be out for another week or two.
Yep.
So both of them, but. Watching the Spurs as I have this year, there are stretches of games where Wembanyama has gotten, I don't want to say flustered, but like teams have been able to stifle him with whether it's physicality, whether it's putting two on the ball. And you could tell he is still learning how to be an apex number one guy on a good team. Now, when he figures that out, everybody else is screwed because no one's beating that team if they have the right pieces around him. So this is not a value judgment on where we are going. It is simply a commentary on where we are now.
And the fair point about that, too, is we've also seen in the now, we've seen Giannis do it in the playoffs with limited shooting, which should be considered as impressive. That should, I don't want to poo-poo because his game is a little bit based more on athleticism, that isn't impressive at all. We've seen Giannis do it, to your point, as a, you know, apex number one guy.
Yes.
Where defenses are trying to build a wall around him. We've seen him do that. Where we haven't seen it, Wemby, it's a fair point. I can go either or. I'll let us move ahead. I like Sean with Şengün. I do have a question about that, though.
So Şengün stats, 23, 10, and 7. I'm basically Jokic light. 49% from the field, 45% from three. It is limited volume, 75% from the line. I was a little surprised to see this. The Rockets are essentially the same team when he plays versus when he doesn't, plus 1.4. It's tough, though, because when you're on a team as stacked as Houston is and when you don't have Sengun in the game, first of all, they pretty much always have Kevin Durant in the game, and they probably have Steven Adams, too. So it's like they're just stacked, and I don't know if we should hold that against Sengun. What were you going to say about Alperen in Houston, Dex?
No, I love Sengun. I guess my thing is, are we going to put him over Cat?
Cat was so good offensively
last year. Second team All NBA. Cat was second or third?
Cat was third team All NBA.
Sorry.
Since you brought him up, I'll read his stats very quickly. 22-13, 3.5 assists. Not bad. He's having easily the worst shooting season of his career. 43% overall, 32% from three, 87% from the line. Good news, Knicks plus 8.9 when he's on the floor. That's a very good very good number. The weird thing, and it's not that weird because we've all watched the games, but just something to acknowledge, the low field goal percentage for him is not just about the threes. He's shooting 49% on twos. That's the lowest of his career by 5%. His previous low was 54%. So I'll throw it back to you, Dex, but yep. I'm putting that out there.
So, and I'm trying to put in context that this is we're talking about right now. Yes. And he is having the worst shooting season of his career. But
it's for the rest of this year. We don't expect that this shooting to maintain the way it is right now.
We don't expect
it to get better.
I don't. And I just think he's so good offensively and an elite high volume scoring big that I think this comes back and there's probably in terms of just we did a lot of jokes about him saying he's the best shooting big man of all time, but like the guy can shoot the rock, and Knicks fans have wanted to see him shoot the ball more.
Yes.
He shot the ball more. It has not gone the way he liked, but I think that's going to change for him. I actually like the fact that he's taking the shots. You talked about the two-point percentage, his overall field goal percentage. And a lot of it, look, I've seen Knicks fans complain about this, and I get it too. He doesn't get a lot of the calls. Now, he also makes some dumbass fouls going to the basket too, and he kind of drives
wildly. You know it, Dex.
I know it, so I can't defend it. I know it, J-Mac. I know. But I think this is what's maddening about him. He's probably got the highest variance offensively in terms of just being able to get buckets more than any other guy. Now, he's not good defensively as Wemby or obviously Giannis. That's clear, which is also why it's kind of impressive. The Knicks are plus,
8.9 better.
Despite his defensive limitations. I was making a case for him. I think he's definitely in the top five for me, for sure. I think he could be as high as three, but I'm not fighting for this. Well, I just wanted to throw it out there. I'm not fighting.
I can't let that slip by. As high as three?
Yeah. Somebody could have him high as three.
I know. I don't want to. I don't want to name. There were people making Cat, like I read, you'd just rather have Cat over Giannis arguments when all that shit came out, whatever it was.
I'm not. That's too far. Too far.
But you just said as high as three, Jokic, Giannis, and Wemby. You're saying he could be above any of those three?
If you believe in his offensive height,
I can't get there.
You can't get that far?
I cannot get that far.
What's interesting is him putting up those numbers and being, 8.9 points better when he's on the floor for the Knicks. But it's not his shooting numbers isn't because he's taking too many threes. It's actually his, like you said, John, like he's shooting 60% at the rim.
Yeah, it's not. It's
crazy when you're 7 feet tall and he's shooting from 3 to 10 feet, 35%, which is both of those numbers are the lowest of his career. So to your point, Dexter, like if he just starts shooting regular, like a 7-footer does in the paint, then like, it's like,
yeah, but what we can look, I don't want to spend the whole episode on Cat. What are the quality of shots that Cat gets in the paint and how, and do, is there, I'm not saying that restricted area number is not going to improve, Sean. I think it will.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot, his approach can be in a question at times. It's not as if he's just like missing a bunch of bunnies. It, like, that's, I guess, what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. You know, it's the drive from the top of the key to the lane, flailing, falling down, and it either goes in or it's like bounce off the backboard.
I like that you mentioned the quality of shots, J-Mac, because I was just looking it up. His true shooting last year was 63% over the 72 games that he played last year. And it felt like the quality shots were better. Maybe he wasn't flailing as much. I'd like to look back more early season what that was. But look, I think the whole thing comes down to, I realize what you just said too. It's like, I probably wasn't considering Giannis as a center for this, but if you are going to do it, then no, I'm not putting him over Giannis.
So let's do this. Sean, you tossed out I've always said Sengun.
According to Basketball Reference, it's Sengun.
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 Sengun. Yes.
I don't know. I think I want to stick with my way. I like it better. Okay. Sengun, you tossed him out. Yeah. Do you think you're putting him above Cat?
Yes. Yes, I am. Because guess what? When you're center, you shoot 60% from the rim. Go to hell. So now that doesn't mean he can't pass him. But right now, like, and also, like, Sengun also shooting, he is shooting 45% from three this year, which we spoke about this earlier, Mac, a few weeks ago. Like, that's the jump I did not see coming, which is what kind of elevates him.
It is a little vibe. I mean, he's just such a – the difference between – I mean, this is obvious, but the difference between Sengun and Cat is you could just dump the ball into him in the post and you're going to get something good at almost regardless of who he's going up against. So he has that old school back to the basket nature, and you're getting 7+ assists a game, which is just absurd. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Sengun over Cat too as well. So I think that puts him at 4. Do we have anyone want to throw out a name to potentially go over Cat, or are we putting Cat at 5? I have a name I at least want to throw out.
I bet you we have the same name.
It's
who's he plays in the Western Conference.
Is it because this was the next guy I was going to mention. Is it Ivica Zubac?
It is. I not with the start to the season. I would admit, listen, we could have had some conversations this summer, which would have been uncomfortable conversations. I can't. Zubac has not had a good start to the year. He just hasn't.
He has not.
So I can't go there. Sean, who are you? Where are you going?
I thought the guy you're going to throw out is the next Detroit Pistons center, Lauri Markkanen.
I was instead going to throw out the current Detroit Pistons center.
I thought that was I was like, it's one of those two.
Can I say this? Sure. I think that he is the person that has to be in the top 10. I will say that. Now, where you have him is this.
I agree.
But he has risen from wherever he was last year firmly into the top 10. I'll probably put him in maybe the bottom of the top 10. But if you want to tell me you get him around 5 or 6, I didn't think that was crazy either. So I like that you guys are here with Durin.
Okay. So, Sean, you were just alluding to Markkanen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other – so, again, right now, Cat's in pencil at 5. The other names that I want to at least throw out during this portion of the conversation, and it's pretty clear we're not going to get to a lot of these guys because we're just going to finish the list before we get to any of them, is Evan Mobley and Chet Holmgren. Now, I've watched enough Cleveland basketball this year to have some skepticism over whether the Mobley leap is it, like it was. This was supposed to be the year we were supposed to get it, right? That was what was told to us.
Yes.
Has not happened.
No.
Just has not happened. Mm-hmm. Chet is awesome. I'll read both of their numbers. Chet, 20-8, 60-39-86 on real 3-point volume, plus 7.9. Mobley, 19-9-4. That's fine. 47-35-60. That's fine. Plus 2.3. That's not so fine. Do we have an argument with any of those guys? Dex, if you had to pick one of the guys I just mentioned to potentially say, all right, this person I'd rather have this person over Cat for the rest of this year, who would you go with?
That are we including Durin
or Durin, Markkanen, Chet, and Mobley, and you could throw out anywhere else you want to throw out too. But those were the only other names that I really felt was worthy of being thrown out in this portion of the conversation.
I wouldn't take those guys over Cat right now. I think you can make an argument for maybe Mobley just because of how good he is defensively.
He's very good.
I would maybe make that argument. Durin is rising though. Durin is knocking on the door. If you can, he's rising. Just how dominant he's playing. I'm fine with Cat at five. I don't think I'd take any of these guys over him right now though.
Sean,
just because I mean Durin's a better defensive player than Cat, which is not saying much. But like, if I need a bucket, am I giving the ball to Karl-Anthony Towns or Jalen Durin?
Well,
like,
he's not that. So Durin, 21-12-2. He's a good passer, but only two assists. That's not always indicative. 67% from the field, does not take threes. 78% from the line. That's good. It's reliable. And plus 9.7. That's, you know, strong.
Yeah, if I had to pick between those two to put over Cat, I'd choose Laurie. But I wouldn't put Laurie there yet.
You know what?
You can make it. The case can be made. It's also fun watching him play. It is so fun watching him play.
Well, it's a lot of fun watching Laurie play. You know, and as we talked about, the Jazz are a fun watch. This is a big man conversation, but the fact that I am never going to trust Laurie Markkanen at the five in any kind of a game where I actually feel like I need to win, I think that's my tiebreaker here. For as much as Markkanen, you could say he's going to have a better offensive season than Cat the rest of the year, but the positional part of it, let's go. Okay, I'm going to go with Cat at the five, at the five and Cat at five. Dex, who's your number six? And again, feel free to pick someone that I haven't brought up yet that you think is worthy.
I'm looking at my list here, and this guy's hurt right now.
I know who you're looking at.
There's two guys who are hurt right now that I was looking at, but the one
is,
guy I'm
is one get, of them dating at WNBA MVP.
Yes, Bam Adebayo. Yes, Bam Adebayo. Go, J Mac. I'll have
20 numbers. 28-3. Let me rephrase that. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 46% from the field, 37% from three, 87% from the line. That 3-point number is notable in that he has massively increased his volume. The only two big men in the league who are taking more threes per game than Bam are Cat and Miles Turner, and it's close. And the Heat, again, I know he's out right now. He's only played 9 games this year, plus 13.7. That's a big number.
Yeah, and that's a number I looked at a lot. You know his impact as a two-way player. You know how good he is defensively. He can anchor that defense. You would like the rebounding to be a little bit better from him at times, Bam. Yeah. But
yep.
But he's so good all around defensively. It's hard for me to not have him here. I had him six.
You had him six. Wow.
Yeah, I had him. I actually had him six here.
Okay.
It's hard for me to not have him here. I mean, yeah. Oh, the 3-point shooting really pushed him up for me. Yeah, listen, I know
he's
a Heat player up here, but the 3-point shooting and him shooting with the volume he's shooting at and what he's hitting from downtown is a huge change in his game that really helps the Heat.
It's a real change, and it's an important change because last season Bam had arguably the worst season of his like prime, at least in the league. He was kind of underwhelming last year, and this season he's again, the numbers are what the numbers are. The Durin leap has been so impressive, and I don't want to forget about Laurie Markkanen here either. Because I didn't read Laurie's numbers. He's averaging 31 points a game, 6 rebounds. He's very seriously flirting with 50, 40, 90. Literally 49, 39, 89. That's Laurie Markkanen. And the Jazz has about plus 16.7. How do you like that number? That's a number. Sean, where are you going for at six?
I was looking at Bam, which is why when when Dexter said this guy's hurt, I was like, I knew he was looking that bad. Like, it also.
This is where it gets tough.
And it also pains me to give the Miami Heat any praise whatsoever.
No, we leave our biases at the door here on NBA Takedown.
It is not my job to hide my bias. It's my job to inform you of them, as a wise man once said. But with that said, I will go with that line. I got it from Jeff. Shout out to him.
That's a good line.
I'll go with Bam.
You're going to go? All right. So I'm not gonna try to ice skate uphill here. Man, this feels a little high for him, but I'll.
Okay. This is between Bam and Laurie.
Listen, that's why this is an interesting. I think Markkanen has a valid argument here. I think Chet has a valid argument here. I think Durin. That's okay. I'll just say it right now. If I'm putting someone else at six, I'm putting Durin. I think the defense, and I think the fact that is he a more limited player in the sense that he does not take threes at all, and Bam is obviously firing away from three and he's hitting those threes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is Bam a better defender at this point than Durin? Yes, he has the track record to prove that.
Yeah.
He has produced in the playoffs. Durin had a good playoff series, but it's literally one playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just made the case for Bam. What Durin is doing well this season, he's doing so well. And it's like he might just be scratching the surface.
Like 22 and 22 don't grow on trees, dog. Like I can't. We're picking nits here. Like all these guys.
All right. Let Bam or Durin. Sean. Who is it?
I'll go for Dries.
I knew that was his first name, and I wouldn't. If you asked me to pull that, I would not have been able to pull it, but I at least recognized it. All right, so Bam's going to be our six. Are we putting Durin at seven?
But now we're putting Laurie eight.
But again, there's no question that Laurie is having an outstanding offensive season. We are doing a list of the best big men in the NBA. So inherent in this group is we are not just ranking the best players. Mm-hmm. It is how much can your team treat you as a big man, which I'm like on the fence with this, because if you're putting Laurie Markkanen out there at the five,
I don't trust it.
Yeah. I don't know that I trust it either. Giannis, we know Giannis played the five. We've seen him win a championship playing a lot of minutes at the five.
Yep.
Laurie is a different story, and I'm sorry to be a stickler.
No, you're right. There's two sides of the basketball court. I say that all the time. We cannot overrate one over the other.
Sorry, and to those who would be like, wait, hold on, you put Cat at five.
Which was going to be the next thing, words out of my mouth.
No, but. The Knicks came within that game away. We all know what that game that game away from potentially appearing in the finals with Cat playing a goodly number of minutes at the five. Mm-hmm. We know you can get by. You can figure it out. Is it easy? Is it pretty?
No,
it's frustrating as all hell. You can do it though. Mm-hmm. You can do it. We have no evidence that like Laurie at the five is ever going to work for a sustained period of time if you're trying to win games. So I think it's a little apples to oranges. That's all.
And I hear you. I hear you. Again, we're picking nits here.
So you want to put Durin at seven? Dex, how you feel about that?
I'm fine with that. I think the other guy you could legitimately make an argument. Sorry to throw another name.
Into the ring. This is what we're doing. Throw the name out.
How do you feel about Chet?
So I was wondering when we were going to get back to him.
Because they're the two young bigs to me that have, I think they have to be in this top 10. They firmly jumped into it with the leaps they've made this season. And J-Mac, I'll have you run Chet's numbers so you can.
Yeah, I said him before, 20 points, 8 rebounds. Again, he's shooting 60% from the field. And almost 40% from three, and that's on real volume. He has taken threes.
Yeah, I like how Chet's looking this year. More confident, stronger. I like how he's looking. I just think I'll put it like this. I love what Durin's done, but I'm live Chet over him because I think I trust Chet a little bit more on the floor in a close big game because of what he can do offensively as opposed to Duren's limitations offensively. So I might give him the slight edge over Duren. I'm not mad if you have Duren, but I think they're the next two guys on this list for sure.
You know what? I agree with you that they're the next two guys on this list. Man, there's going to be some names left off here. Sean, do you agree that they're the next two on the list after Bam at six? Speak now, forever hold your peace. I'm with
Dex. Honestly, I'm looking at this list, and like Dex is in the beginning, like you got to play. So some of these guys that don't play,
well, we're going to get some of those guys, though.
So I'm fine with those next two.
Okay, and then so who do you want first, Duren or Chet?
Give me Chet.
You're taking Chet. Okay, so
I'm going Chet.
Okay, so just to recap very quickly, Jokic, Giannis, Wemby, Şengün. It's going to take me years to because I've been saying Şengün since he came into the league, and it's just
Şengün. So don't feel bad.
Cat, Bam, Chet, Duren. We have two spots left in addition to the guys that we have already mentioned, Evan Mobley and Lauri Markkanen. Here are just some names. Joel Embiid, former MVP winner.
Does not
play basketball.
Playing basketball is required.
Yes.
How many minutes? Well, you probably looked at the sheet.
No, I didn't. I actually don't know
how many minutes.
How many minutes per game is Embiid averaging this year?
I think it's 20.
A little higher, 23.
Okay. I thought I was going to say 19. I was going to be nice to say 20.
And the middling Sixers, they're a little bit better than middling. They're worse when Embiid is on the court. He's not shooting well. And how about my favorite Embiid number this year? He's averaging 5.5 rebounds a game. Again, I know he's only playing 23 minutes, but like,
hey, dog. Mitch Robinson's getting more rebounds than that in less minutes.
Well, so. A lot more. Anthony Davis. Julius Randle, whose numbers I will read right now.
We can't talk about all this shit about playing dudes at the five and then bring up Julius Randle.
I'm just going to read the man's statistics. 25-8. I hate you so much, Sean. 25-8-6 on 52% shooting, 37% from the field, 83% from the line. Plus 15.3. How you doing? And now I'm going to say the name. And you brought up Zubac before, almost NBA last year. I think it's worth mentioning. And the last name that I think has real consideration, and I mean capital R real consideration for one of these last two spots, is Pascal Siakam. 25 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 46% from the field, 35% from three, 68% from the field. The Pacers, the dog shit. Absolute. How about I think they won a second game because who they beat?
They did.
I forget who they. It was not a good team who they beat. Plus 16.7. That's his on off. I throw out a name, Dex.
I gotta go Evan Mobley here.
Okay.
I gotta go Evan Mobley here. This feels like a good spot for him. I would have wanted to go. I love Zubac. I'm very high in Zubac. I would want to go here, but his year is a little bit down, as you said, to start. We're talking about right now, not what he did last year.
He's at 16-11, 61% from the field. That's good. 75% from the line, plus 6.5. I mean, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah. I got to go Mobley here.
You're going Mobley. Sean, how you feel with Mobley in our ninth position?
Yes, that's fine. I accept. I accept.
You accept?
You accept.
Because now we're shuffling deck chairs in the Titanic now down here. Like, in terms of like, all right, cool. Because listen.
Hold on. Why would I rather have Evan Mobley on my team for the rest of this year than Pascal Siakam?
So I was going to say, this whole conversation about the defensive side of the floor, I mean, Pascal is clear, right? Like
Pascal was the leading scorer on a team that went to the fucking finals last year.
And you know what?
He was awesome.
And you know what? Yes. I got into arguments when I told people I would rather Pascal Siakam on my team than Kyrie Irving. When Kyrie was in Brooklyn, people yelled at me. And I gave, and for the reason that you gave, like, one, defense matters. Two, like, and also he's a better 3-point shooter. Like,
he's a better 3-point shooter, and he has managed to, and it, look, it can be skewed by how bad the Pacers are. That's fine.
Yes.
We saw when that team was good, he towed that line or walked that tightrope, whatever you want to say, between there are possessions where I'm going to do my thing and you're just going to throw me the ball and I'm going to get you a good shot and it's going to go in more often than not. But I am also going to be able to be part of a cog in this offensive machine, and we will lose nothing with me being a cop.
Yeah, like if you swapped Pascal with Evan Mobley, I think the Pacers are still 2-13.
I think the Cavs are better.
I actually agree with that too.
Yes, they are better.
You know what all this says, J Mac? Put some damn respect on Pascal Siakam's name and get him here in this list.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So I think Pascal Siakam might be the most underappreciated player in the NBA.
I'm happy you went with underappreciated instead of underrated, because I do think like people like respect him, but I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they truly appreciate how much he, to use an overused phrase, impacts winning.
They don't. Mm-hmm. They do not. Again, I got into arguments about this for an entire season. And people told, to your point, about Kyrie, because people love tween, hezzy tween, and you know, the way it looks, whatever. I'm like, yo, if you go to 29 GMs like 3 years ago, say, or all 30 GMs say, you need to start a team. Who are you picking, Kyrie Irving or Pascal Siakam? I think most of them are taking Pascal Siakam because they know on both sides of the ball, I'm set.
Yeah. I also know Pascal Siakam is going to show up to work.
He's going to show up to work. And just to put a bow on what we were talking about before with Markkanen and Randall, you can play Pascal at the five. Like not starting him there, but like to run, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes in a big playoff game, you could do it. Okay. All right. So last spot. For me, this will come down to Mobley and Anthony Davis. And I'm wondering, are we really going to do a list of the 10 best big men in the NBA and not have?
Yes, we are.
Yes, easily.
With conviction.
Yes, we are. You have to play. Like, why did we lose our shit? About the Luka deal. Of course, we had many reasons, but one of the reasons was you traded Luka because you didn't like
his condition. He was a fat slob, allegedly.
Because you didn't like his condition, the way he took care of himself, and then you brought in that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you traded, you didn't like the guy who you thought was a fat slob, but just took you to the finals. And you went for a guy who could trade his Twitter handle with Jeff Stotts and be called injury close.
No.
He could just do that.
Oh, God.
He could just do that. We're not talking about talent here. Anthony Davis is one of the most talented two-way bigs in the league. But he's always in street clothes, guys. He's always in street clothes.
Jeff Stotts, for anybody who doesn't know, his handle is in street clothes. Dex, that's the funniest thing anyone has said on this show so far.
I try sometimes. Sometimes.
That was really good. Okay. I can't fight against that tidal wave. It's Mobley?
It's Mobley.
Mobley. Sean, I'm glad you were with me and like we're not doing this.
You got to freaking play. And he's shooting 27-for-7-3. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Have a seat.
Please. Okay. The one statistic I just want to at least mention, he was never getting on this list, but I just want to mention. Draymond Green, the Warrior, he's averaging a robust 8-6-6, shooting an even more robust. What'd you say, Sean?
Triple single.
He's averaging an even more robust 39% from the field. The Warriors are 22.5 points better when Draymond. And I just want to. I hate Draymond Green. He's probably my least favorite person in the NBA right now. I saw that number. I'm like, I got to at least mention it. I've mentioned it.
And listen, he's shooting 36% from three this year. So God bless him. But to your point, 8-6-6 Like, God, you can't. How do you shoot 36% from three and you can't get 10 points in the game? Overall. Like,
it's not what you want. And the other guy who was top 10 in my heart always, Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yes.
I'm not even going to read his numbers because they're whatever.
Not a triple single, I'll tell you that much.
No, 12 and 11.
Not a triple single.
Not a triple single. Okay, here's our top 10 list. Number one, Nikola Jokic. Number two, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Number three, Victor Wembanyama. Number four, Alperen Şengün. Number five, Karl-Anthony Towns. Number six, Bam Adebayo. Number seven, Chet Holmgren. Number eight, Jalen Duren. Number nine, Pascal Siakam. Number 10, Evan Mobley. Last thing before we get out of here, Dex, which player that we did, you know, we didn't talk about? We didn't talk about Zion.
Oh, thank God.
Which player that did not make our list would elicit the most robust fervor amongst their fan base?
I was gonna say Anthony Davis. Sean, go first if you have one. Maybe Rudy Gobert. We didn't mention him.
So my favorite, second favorite stat that I came across. So the Jazz, the Wolves are much better with Gobert on the floor. They're plus 10.7. The breakdown of that plus 10.7 is so funny. They're 10.8 points per 100 possessions worse on offense, and 21.5 points per 100 better on defense.
Yeah, and that's the thing with him, right? Like, the rim defense is still great. It's still elite. Still a good defensive rebounder. Still an all-defensive player. Yeah. The limitations on offense is starting to see. I think, you know, he's only averaging, what, just over 10 points? Like 11?
He's 11 year. And 10, yeah.
Yeah, he was averaging 14 last year. So you're seeing even more of a dip in his role in the offense and into what he can do offensively. That's why he's on the outside. But the Minnesota fans are going to be like, man, he's so good on defense. And yeah, I get it. The advanced numbers show that. But I think we have done a good job of looking at availability, two-way play. Can we trust you to play the five?
Yep.
And that's why. But I think, you know, somebody can always be mad, as I always like to say. And so Minnesota fans will find a way to be angry about Rudy not being on there.
I think my answer to the question of which fan base is most upset after hearing this list would be Minnesota, because – and a guy I didn't even have on the list is Naz Reid. You could throw him on here too. Huh? The problem is, like – if the Timberwolves could combine those three players, they would have the best center on this list, and they would probably be favorites to win the title. Unfortunately, they have three guys, and it's like it's tough to get all those guys minutes. Sean, what thoughts on the most aggrieved?
The most aggrieved fan base will probably be Minnesota, because they'll be yelling for Gobert and for Mr. Randall, even though Mr. Randall cannot really play him at the five. It was just also funny because they hated him this time last year. Yes. The other fan base that will yell will be Memphis for Jaren Jackson Jr. Wow. And I will tell them that your center is 6'10 and gets five rebounds a game, so he can have a seat.
And how about minus 8.3 per 100?
Really? Didn't know that number for him. Jeez.
Yeah, that is the second worst differential of anyone that I listed, behind only Domantas Sabonis at minus 13.1.
Hey man, Domantas Sabonis, who should get an honorable mention because he is a good
he's
center.
He's a good player.
He can't overcome Vivek. He can't do that. Nobody could overcome the Kings. Relegate the Kings. Back to that. Relegate the Kings.
We got to get some takedown merch out there on the internet just so we could have a t-shirt that says Relegate the Kings.
I will gladly wear that around.
Do you think more Kings fans would buy that, or more non-Kings fans would buy it?
Because there are no Kings
fans.
Damn.
Hey, that's you said there are no Kings fans.
No, don't say that, Sean.
I didn't say there are no Kings fans. I said ain't no non-Kings fans buying that stuff.
Ain't no non-Kings fans buying it. Got you. Okay. No. Yeah, I could see that. I think the Kings fans should buy it, and they should wear it to the arena. I mean, the real better thing would be to not show up to the arena. That's the real power.
I saw that on Twitter today. A lot of people like, we need to stop going. Like,
I say this, but Sean, I say this all the time to fan bases. If you don't like the product, don't show up.
Yeah.
Show up.
Like Brooklyn. Nobody shows up.
They just don't have fans. That's different, Jay. That's different. They just don't. Sorry, Nets fans. You know I love you.
They're in a bad position because the people who go to Nets games aren't Nets fans. There are people who want to go to a basketball game that live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And because of that, you'll get, you know, 15,000, 14,000 people.
Right. Hey, I'll tell you what, guys. I will be at the Nets game on Monday. I will be in the building for the Nets game on Monday.
What a flex.
For work. And you know what? It's going to feel just like I was at 34th Street. It's going to feel no different. It's got the 33rd, excuse me. And it's going to feel no different. It's going to be MSG in Brooklyn. And here's the best thing. It's a nice short trip for me as a Brooklynite. Nice short trip.
Oh, that's right. I always forgot. That's the next game on their quote-unquote road trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be great because the next three games the Knicks play are going to have more Knicks fans in the arena than the opposing team because it's Orlando, Brooklyn, and Charlotte.
Absolutely.
Yeah, perfect. All right. Nice. This was great. Dex, really always I don't say it enough. I appreciate you taking the time. You're the busiest man in sports media to do basically anything I ever call you up. Like, hey, you want to do this? And you're like, all for it. I can't wait to appear on your pod on Sunday night.
We got something good cooking.
There you go. And then anything else you want to shout before we get out of here?
Oh, no, that's it. J-Mac will be with me for a special episode. I won't say too much about it, but it's a Thanksgiving theme to it, which will be good. Also, I want to shout out. I had a great time seeing Sean. At the Knicks film school watch party last Friday. It was a week ago. Yeah, a week ago. Damn, about time is far. A week ago. Yeah, great time. Always a great time coming here. Thanks for letting me get off my takes and a little bit of rants. And sorry, Anthony Davis, but you are in street clothes a lot. We know this.
Again, just spectacular stuff. Sean, last word before we get out of here.
Shout out to everyone who pulled up to the last Knicks film school watch party last week. I don't know when the next one will be, but it will be a time that will be worth your while. Dexter can atone to that. Yes. And again, like John said, if you are watching this live, you haven't subscribed, what are you doing? And please, if you're listening to this, give this podcast 5 stars. Not one, not two, not three, not four, 5 stars.
That's right.
Took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, don't be a hater. Please do subscribe to the pod, follow the pod. I always say subscribe, it's follow now. Wherever you get your podcast, that is honestly the best way that you could help us out, help us grow, help the visibility grow, and help us allow us to continue doing our thing. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Friday. Ben Kim Gervey, shout out in the chat, man. You're my guy. And we will see everybody very soon. Peace out.